Good afternoon. We have just finished a meeting on Afghanistan with our rescue support partners, and our commitments to Afghanistan's security is strong and steadfast. At our Warsaw summit in July, we agreed to sustain rescue support beyond 2016, to continue national funding of the Afghan security forces throughout 2020, and to work on our long-term political partnership and practical cooperation with Afghanistan. Today, we reviewed the security situation in Afghanistan, and we reaffirmed our mutual commitments. The situation in Afghanistan is and will remain difficult and tough. The Afghan security forces have taken many casualties, but they are defending the Afghan people with determination and courage, and combating the enemy across the country. This year alone, there have been eight major attempts to seize cities. All have failed. NATO will continue to train, advise, and assist the Afghan forces through our rescue support mission, because we know that training local forces to fight terrorism and stabilize their country is the best way to project stability beyond our borders. This is part of the broad international support for Afghanistan. At the Brussels conference in October, the international community committed a further $15 billion through 2020. Minister Rabbani expressed Afghanistan's appreciation for the continued support from the international community, and he briefed us on his country's ongoing reforms, which are linked to that support. It is essential that Afghanistan continues to pursue reforms and improve governance, to fight corruption, protect human rights, and advance the peace process. This matters for the stability of Afghanistan and for our own security. Let me also thank my senior civilian representative in Afghanistan, Ambassador Ismail Aramaz, for his insights and commitment over the last 2 years. I can announce that his successor will be Ambassador Cornelius Zimmermann from Germany. He is an experienced diplomat who knows Afghanistan very well and will continue our important work. And with that, I'm ready to take your questions.
Okay, we'll go to Salam Watanda, the first round. No, over there. Over there, thank you.
Thank you very much. I'm Sharif Azaniar from Mariana News. Mr. Secretary, there will be a meeting in coming days in Moscow, include Pakistan, China, Russia, towards Afghanistan. And there is a concern in Afghanistan because of a new bloc. Is it a concern for NATO as a partner of Afghanistan as well?
So the important thing is that we all support the Afghan unity government, because that's the best way to support the efforts to fight terrorism, to stabilize Afghanistan, and to support the unity of Afghanistan. And that's exactly what NATO is doing, and NATO's partners are doing when we support Afghanistan through the rescue support mission. And all outside actors should be helping the Afghan government and not interfering in Afghanistan by undermining the Afghan government.
Salam Watanda, first gentleman over there.
Thank you very much. This is Nasser Maimanigi from Salam Matandar, and my question actually relates to your comment yesterday and a little bit today. You mentioned that you're going to be reviewing the performance of the Afghan government Could you please tell us what those performance areas are and against which, what benchmarks do you review them? Thank you.
The purpose of the NATO presence in Afghanistan, our rescue support mission, is to train, assist and advise the Afghan forces, the national security forces. And we do that in many different ways. We train and assist the forces. I've visited and seen it myself. And I think it's obvious that they have made a lot of progress, because just the fact that the Afghan National Security Forces have been able to take full responsibility for the security in Afghanistan themselves since 2015 is a great expression of the strength and the courage and the professionalism they have achieved. And that is a direct result of NATO training that we have been able to help build such a strong national force. Then, of course, we continue also to work on many other areas. For instance, we help them with developing their special operation forces and also air forces. And we measure the progress we make in all these different areas. In addition to that, we also work on, together with the broader international community, on reform, on building a stronger democratic institution. Minister Abani just briefed us on the establishment of the electoral commission and the work to have elections. We work with Afghanistan to modernize their government institutions, especially the defense and security institutions, and of course to fight terrorism. And we do this in a transparent way, and we do it together with the wider international community. So, for instance, when we work together with the European Union, we also work on how to implement reforms and to make sure that we are able to see progress also in modernizing and improving the way the government structures work in Afghanistan.
National Public Radio, third row, lady.
Hi, I moved just to throw you off. No, my question is also about Afghanistan. Today, an Asia Foundation survey came out, which talks about not the security situation, but the way Afghans feel about their life and the direction that it's going. And in the last dozen years, they've taken this survey. They are more pessimistic than ever before, with 66% of the population saying it's going in the wrong direction. So you may say that Taliban aren't taking back cities, but people aren't happy anyway. Isn't that also part of NATO's legacy? What do you say about that? Thanks.
I think that survey confirms that the situation in Afghanistan is difficult. It's a tough situation, and we will continue to see violence, fight, and a very difficult economic situation in Afghanistan. But that's exactly why NATO is there, to help them make progress, to help them stabilize the country, which is a precondition also for economic development and economic prosperity. And there are also some other results in that survey, which I think it's important to take note of. For instance, that 80% in the same survey say that they don't want Taliban back, meaning that they agree with the main reason why NATO is there. Prevent that Afghanistan once again is controlled by Taliban and become a safe haven for international terrorists. We have also seen in the same survey that there is strong trust and support for the Afghan security forces. They continue to be trusted. And one of the issues we are focusing on together with the broader international community is how can we implement reforms? How can we fight terrorism? How can we improve the electoral process? And how can we contribute to the peace and reconciliation process? So I think we do not underestimate the difficulties, the problems, the challenges which we face in Afghanistan. But I strongly believe that what we do now in Afghanistan is the right thing. We have ended our combat operations there. We are there to build Afghan-owned institutions, Afghan-owned peace process, Afghan-owned political processes, and we're helping them in doing that to make sure that one day they can manage without our help. But it's tough, it's difficult, and the survey confirms that, but it also confirms that they don't want Taliban back, and to avoid that, they need our help.
We'll go to Kuna, the Kuwait News Agency, first round.
Nawab Khan, Kuwait News Agency. My question is concerning the Gulf region. NATO and ICI are expected to open a center in Kuwait later this month. Can you please tell me what are the aims and goals of this center? And secondly, on Iraq, how many trainers are you going to send there in January? Thank you.
We will inaugurate a center, a regional center, NATO ICI, Istanbul Cooperation Initiative Center, in Kuwait early next year. And that center will be a platform. It is a big building. I've seen the construction site, which is going to be a platform for different kinds of partnership activities. NATO and countries in the Gulf region can meet, can have many different kinds of activities to build partnerships between NATO and countries in the region. So I'm looking forward to open the center in Kuwait, and it's going to take our work with the region an important step forward. In January, we will. We have already training activities in Jordan where we train Iraqi officers, and we have trained several hundred officers there already. We will continue our activity in Jordan, but then from January, we will start with around 20 trainers. So it's a modest start where we are going to train Iraqi officers in Iraq. We do this, of course, in very close coordination and cooperation with the coalition. And we have several NATO allies that are part of the coalition efforts, and we will work with them when we establish our training activity in Iraq to start to train Iraqi officers in Iraq.
Financial Times, at the back. We'll come back.
Thank you, Arthur Beasley. Just to go back to the discussion on Russia, and there was a discussion on Russia at dinner overnight, what in your assessment is the state of unity between NATO members on the sanctions question, and to what extent are people now growing weary of sanctions, because there is an undercurrent in debate on that, and what in your assessment would be the consequence of disunity on that question among NATO members? Thank you.
First of all, we had a very good discussion on Russia and our approach to Russia during the dinner yesterday evening. Second, there is very strong unity in NATO when it comes to our approach to Russia, which is built on strength, defense, deterrence, combined with dialogue. And I feel that the support for that approach, this dual-track approach, is stronger now than it is. Also, it's a very strong unity behind that approach. Economic sanctions is part of the response from the broader international community to the aggressive actions of Russia in Ukraine. And it is not NATO that decide on the sanctions. It's the European Union, United States, G7. But NATO has expressed strong support for the sanctions, and I have expressed strong support for the sanctions. Because I believe that sanctions are an important tool to send a very clear message that we do not accept the kind of aggressive behavior, the illegal annexation of Crimea, and the destabilizing behavior in eastern Ukraine, which Russia is responsible for. The EU has decided to continue with economic sanctions, and I think that is a right decision because the sanctions should only be lifted if Russia change behavior, and so far we haven't seen much of that, so therefore I support continued sanctions, economic sanctions against Russia.
Polish News Agency.
Mr. Secretary General, Rafał Leszczycki, Polish Press Agency, PAP. I would like to raise once again a question about relations and dialogue with Russia. Polish Minister of Foreign Affairs told us today that he expects from you some proposal on dialogue with Russia. He says that this is something, this is only some kind of rhetoric, some kind of ritual, there's no concrete. Could you comment on that?
First of all, we discussed, as I said last evening, our relationship with Russia, including the dialogue we have with Russia. And the dialogue is a wide, it's a dialogue which addresses many different kinds of issues. But in, for instance, the two meetings we have convened so far in the NATO-Russia Council, the issues has, have been Ukraine. And even though we don't agree on Ukraine, I think it's important that we meet around the same table and that we express our concerns and that NATO allies and NATO can talk directly to Russia on Ukraine and our concerns, and also on express our views on the importance of full implementation of the Minsk agreements. Because we have seen a violation of the ceasefire, we have seen that the Minsk agreements are not implemented. So that's part of the dialogue, is to raise concerns, for instance, Ukraine. Then another element in the dialogue is what we call transparency and risk reduction. And that's about how we can increase transparency and reduce the risks for incidents, accidents, which is of particular importance in times where we see more military activity, more tensions, and also some very dangerous situations with the downing of the Russian plane and also some incidents in the Black Sea and the Baltic Sea. That's partly about raising the issue of implementing existing agreements, like, for instance, the Vienna document on transparency related to also military exercises and international observation of military exercises, but also to look into how we can develop new mechanisms to improve predictability and transparency related to military activity, and with increased presence, I think that's even more important. Then, of course, we welcome constructive ideas from allies. And Poland and other allies have put different ideas on the table. We will discuss and assess them, because we will constantly look into how we can develop our dialogue with Russia.
Itak Pas.
Thank you. Mr. Secretary General, about other conflict region, there has been an artillery strike on a Russian humanitarian hospital in western Aleppo, and we haven't yet heard the reaction of NATO on this event, during which two Russian medics working with the civilian people of Aleppo were killed. And follow-up question. You have said that EU has taken decision to prolong the sanctions against Russia. Did we hear it correct? Thank you very much.
First, on Aleppo, the situation in Aleppo is very, very difficult. It is a humanitarian catastrophe, what we see there. Thousands of people are killed. Also many innocent people, and we have seen that also humanitarian aid workers have been killed. And the main reason for this increased violence in Aleppo is the renewed offensive by the Syrian regime, supported by Russia. So I think that what we see now in Aleppo, where innocent people are killed, just underlines the importance of finding a political solution, and we support all efforts to try to reach a political solution, and such a political solution has to start with a ceasefire, and I welcome the efforts by also NATO allies in the UN Security Council to get an agreement on cessation of hostilities, a ceasefire. And NATO will continue to support that. So again and again, we see a humanitarian catastrophe in Aleppo, and the best way to end that is to support efforts to have a ceasefire to do as the first step towards a political solution. I think that when it comes to the European Union and economic sanctions, I think that the European Union is the right to comment on that, but I have supported the decision by the European Union many times to prolong economic sanctions, and I have also said it, I also stated this time that I think it's right to continue with economic sanctions.
Europa Press.
Thank you, Secretary General. Going back to Afghanistan, since the situation you mentioned is going to stay tough for quite a while, is it completely excluded that Resolute Support will stay on in 2018? And if I may, a second quick question on Iraq. You've mentioned that the start of the training effort in Iraq itself will start with a modest 20 trainers, but what's the maximum size of the force that we will see there? Thank you.
First of all, we start in Afghanistan, in Iraq, with the trainers, and then we will assess the need and build on that. We also have the training activities going on in Jordan, and we support the coalition fighting ISIL also in other ways, for instance, with direct support with our AWACS surveillance planes. So the exact size and the scope of our training activity in Iraq will be assessed and decided based on the experience we now will get when we start there in January. So there is no fixed figure. We have to come back to that. The other question was about Afghanistan. Yeah. And what was the question? We decided in Warsaw to sustain our rescue support mission into 2017, and that's exactly what we are doing. And we have around 13,000 troops there, and they do the train, advice, and assist mission that they are supposed to do. And they help the Afghans to build their own capacity to defend and stabilize their own country. In addition to that, we also provide financial support. We haven't made any decisions on how long we will stay there with our rescue support mission, the trainers, but that is something we have to assess next year to make decisions regarding 2018. What we have decided is that we will continue to fund them through 2020. And the aim of the rescue support mission is, of course, to make the Afghans able to do this without our support. But we will stay there and continue to support them. And there is very strong commitment by allies to provide support. And we saw that also during the meeting today, that there were many ministers there expressing very strong support and willingness to provide the forces, to provide the funding, to continue to support, but we don't have a fixed date for the train assist and advice mission.
Thank you very much. This concludes this press conference. Have a good afternoon.
Thank you.